To thank you. Thank you for life, health, and strength, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand and speak your word. I ask you to hide me in your word. May everything I say exemplify you and not me. My intent is to lift you up. Thank you for the hearers of your word. Thank you for the fruit that your word will produce. We claim production of your word, not because of this earthly vessel, but because of the heavenly vessel that you are, the instrument, the creator and the maker of all good and perfect gifts. We claim increase because of you. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Early this morning, and it was raining, and I kept hearing something calling my name, and it was the bed, the pillow that I had left. I could hear it just calling me, because it's something about a rainy morning. Remember, thinking about when I lived in my daddy's house and we had that tin top, that tin roof, and you could hear that rain just falling on that roof. And it was saying, stay asleep, stay asleep, stay asleep. And that seemed exactly the way that it was this morning, but I got up anyway and I said, all of those people, if I don't go, I said, they're going to be mad. I didn't want anyone to be mad with me. Notice I didn't say angry. Mad is on the other side of angry. You know, because you're just so eager to hear this word. And I'm glad about that, because I have a word this morning that I think that God wants us to hear. And we read from you from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And for a subject, and you're going to have to think with me on this. Remember the wrappings. Remember the wrappings. You know, like you get a gift and you wrap it in something. Remember the wrappings. And as I was looking at that, I was thinking about some Christmas mornings that were at our house, and the children were unwrapping the gifts. The paper didn't mean anything. The wrappings was just something to hide what was on the inside. But today, I want you to remember the wrappings, because they serve a very important part in our lives. Jesus Christ is superior to all men, no matter who they are. Jesus Christ is superior to them. Moses, by the Jews, is considered one of the greatest men who have ever lived. He was the great emancipator of the Jewish people from Egyptian slavery. And he was the great leader who gave birth to the Jewish people as a nation. But as great as these feats are or were, they could not compare to Jesus the Christ. All else they were, Moses was the lawgiver as well. He gave the laws. And he gave laws that affected not only the nation of Israel, but to the whole world. People and nations today who have sought freedom have based their legal system upon the Ten
commandments and other laws that were given by Moses. However, as great as Moses was, there is still one who is superior to him. There is a person whom all mankind should look to and base their lives and government upon. That is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is superior to all men, no matter how great they and their contribution to society and to the world have been. No person come close to being as great as Jesus Christ is, nor to making the contribution to the world that Jesus Christ has made. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the supreme high priest. This passage of scripture that we read is one of the greatest of the greatest that talks about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest, by far the greatest high priest who have ever stood between God and man. As a high priest, he is able to sympathize, to actually feel every experience that we experience, no matter how painful. Jesus Christ not only feels for us, he feels right along with us. Jesus Christ, remember the wrappings. Don't just unwrap it and don't think about the wrappings that hid from you what you thought you wanted, the birthday present that you received, the gift that you received. Most of us, after we take the wrapping off the gift, we hurry up and go to the garbage can with the wrappings. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, you're going to have to feel me today, because this remembering the wrappings of Jesus Christ, wrapped himself in human flesh, came down, the old preacher would say, through 42 generations just to save a wretch like me. Remember the wrappings, please, ma'am, and please, sir. Be easy for you to keep up with me today. I only have 2 points. Point number one, and if you think you're going to go to sleep, I'll give y'all both of them now. Point number one, the identification of the great high priest. I've already told you who he is, but I want to talk to you a little bit about the word great. It's being used here, and it's being used to set Jesus Christ apart from everybody else. He's set apart. He is the great high priest. Aaron, who was the first high priest, was considered by the Jews to be the greatest of the high priests. But this passage in the book of Hebrews declares that Jesus Christ was the greatest high priest. Because Jesus Christ is passed into heaven. He is before the very throne of God. He is in the very presence of God himself. He was and is our high priest. And he was an earthly high priest. And he ministered, or he passed into the most holy place. Passed into the most holy place and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. You know that that was his blood that he sprinkled on the mercy seat. And because he is the great high priest, he stands in the presence of Lord God Almighty. He's our intercessor. You have somebody to go your bail. You have somebody to pay your fee. All you have to do is be willing to receive it and allow him to live within your heart. Jesus Christ is the great high priest. There will not be another one like him. There was none before him, and there will be none after him. He is the first and the last. In Revelation, he said, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. And that kind of bothered me there for a little while, because we think that anything that begins, the ending is a long ways down there, and it can't be the same thing. But Jesus Christ, he is at both of those places. He is at the beginning and he is at the end. He's already there waiting on you, but you have got to live this life down here. It's just like you got to have an umbrella when you go outside in the rain. If you don't have an umbrella outside on a day like today, you're going to get wet. But if you got an umbrella, you won't get wet. The great high priest is your umbrella. When you become a child of God, he puts a filter around you. If you don't believe me, you can go back and read the book of Job. The devil said, you told him, told God, said, you got a fence around him. Said, I can't get to him. Said, if you take down the fence, I'll make him curse you to your face. But God, when God put a fence around you, can't nothing or nobody get to you. And sometimes the fence might come down, but if it come down and you got God on the inside, you'll stand, you'll go through, you'll say like Job said, for God I live and for God I'll die. Said, yet I know that my Redeemer lives. Said, after the skin worms have eaten my body, I know that my Redeemer shall live, because he's God. And he's God all by himself. He doesn't need me to help him be God, but he's God. I can't stop him and I can't help him. He's God all by himself. He is the Son of God, and God sent him down here to save a wretch just like me. Jesus Christ is his Son. His earthly name is Jesus. It speaks of the human nature of him. I forget that word. It's hypo something that say he's as much man as he is God, and as much God as he was man. He's God, y'all, all by himself. He's my earthly. He's my earthly father. He's my heavenly father. Everywhere I go, I want people to know who my daddy is. A father can do things for you that nobody else can. I know y'all, those of y'all that's been with them for a while, you get tired of hearing it. But I got to tell you this to show you how a daddy can do something for you that nobody else can. 1964, I had a job. I was working every day. Didn't have no credit, but I needed a way to get to work every day. And I'd worked 1 or 2 months. My daddy said, let's go to the car lot and get you a car. Didn't have any money. Had a little bank account. Went up there to Chevrolet place, Gerlach Chevrolet. Walked in there. The man looked up at me, and he saw my daddy, and he called him by his name. He said, Alex, is that your boy with you? He said, yeah. He said, what you looking for? He said, I'm looking for a car. My daddy didn't have no. He might have had some money, but I didn't have any. I was trying to get established, and he said, he needs a car. He said, does he have license? He said, no. He said, well, take him out here and let him look at this. 1963, 327 4-barrel, sky blue Chevrolet, loaded down to the hill. And it's headed out there, sitting out there. He said he wanted $1,900 for it. I didn't have $1,900. I had just been working a couple of months. He told my daddy, said, Alex, said, drive the car up to the patrol station and let him take the test. He said, can he pass the test? Daddy told him, said, yes, sir. He's teaching school out of college. He said, well, take him on up there and let him get the test. I went on up there. My daddy drove up there, and the man that walked out there to give me the test was a guy that lived right down the road from my daddy in Baker named Hilton. And I walked in there, and I took the test. He drove me around. Y'all might not know who I'm talking about. Right behind the county, the city hall.
carried me right around that road there. And I turned around in the road. He said, let's go back to the station, DeWitt. And I went back to the station, and he wrote me out my license. But the point I'm trying to get you to see, if my daddy hadn't went with me, I probably couldn't have got it. If my daddy can do that for me down here on earth, what do you think my father can do for me in heaven? God's all right, y'all. If you live right and you serve God and you are his child, he will provide a way for you. You got to understand that. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Wherefore all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Jesus Christ had to be made like unto me before he can save me. He could have saved me, but he came down as a man, and he died on a cross just like a thief for a wretch just like me. God is good, y'all, and he will provide just what you need. Jesus Christ is also the Son of God. He was obedient to his Father. If you read the book of John, you will find it in there a lot of times. He said, I'm doing the will of my Father. If you're going to be his child, you're going to have to be obedient to his word. Any child that's obedient to their parents can get almost anything they want because they're obedient and they're doing the things that their parents desire for them to do. Jesus Christ is the high priest. He came to be the high priest to save a wretch like me. He died, y'all, but he didn't stay dead. Bright early Sunday morning, he rose, stepped out on resurrection ground, and declared that all power, not some power, all power is in my hand. He's greater than anybody else. I know we have these people that we call great people, but when you compare them to Jesus Christ, they can't touch him. Who's that MC Hammer? You can't touch this. They can't touch Jesus Christ because he's far above all of them. He's God, y'all, all by himself, and he is my elder brother. I thought about Pastor Hagee. He said the devil come in him. He just tell him, come on, come on. He said, I try to bait him to come, and said, when he come, I step back and tell Jesus to get him. Said, because he can't stand in the presence of Jesus the Christ. You got to know that he is, not was, or not gonna be. He is the most excellent high priest for the whole wide world. He can come and get you. God had Jesus to come and reconcile us back to him. We had walked away from him. We had sinned and turned our back. But Jesus, the high priest, came down to die for a wretch just like me. God's a good God, and he won't ever change. Listen, if when you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become washed under the blood, there's nothing like the blood of Jesus. It cleanses, it washes me. Don't ask me how. I don't know how. I just believe it and trust in it, knowing that you can take the blood of Jesus and it can cleanse away any sin that's in your life. But you got to take it. You got to want it. You have to grasp it, because there will be so many things to entice you to walk away from it. But you got to say, thanks. I made up my mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. No matter what happens or what comes or what goes, I'm going to follow Jesus. No matter what, I'm going to follow him. We have to be, and this is what gets some of us. We have to be genuine with Jesus. You have to confess your sin to him. And no, he ain't going to beat you up. He going to just take you and love you. I just thought about it. I saw something about where this man had a
they got a commercial now with one of them cars about where this dog was running in behind him. And the car is so, it gets such a good gas mileage, the dog have to catch a ride. Toyota, okay, you must have one of them. Toyota Prius. But he have to get a ride in a truck. And then after he get the ride in the truck, he still jumps off and start running to catch the car. And you know what I see? I see when the dog jump up in the truck, I see me jumping up in Jesus' arm. And he takes me far enough so I can get home. Then when I can get home, he puts me off. Every now and then, you need to know. You need to become that dog that needed a ride to get home to your master. Jesus Christ is a way that you can get home to God. And he's willing to take you. But you got to get on it. If that dog would have stopped running somewhere before he got to the truck, he'd have missed it. My last point, point number two. And don't y'all think you're going to get out here early, because this is just page number four and I got eight pages. I don't want you to think you're going to get out of here early. And I'm not going to intentionally hold you, but I just said it. Point number two, and my last point. The importance of Christ as high priest for man. We have a high priest who feels with us. Touched mean that he sympathize his feelings, his suffering with us. It means to feel with a person to the point that the hurt and the pain are actually felt within one's own heart. Like a parent, when a child messes up. Oh, you can't explain it, but it hurts, and it hurts deep inside. Do you hold the hurt against them forever? No. As our high priest, he's willing to absorb go through the same pain and suffering that you go through, letting you know that you will never walk alone. You always have him with you when you receive him as Lord and Savior. He knows and suffers right along with us. When you become sick, when you lose a loved one, when you suffer trials, when you face temptation, even when you fall into sin. Even if you have an accident and you feel lonely and suffer persecution. No matter what it is, he's right there with you. You do not go through it all by yourself. You might feel like you're alone, might feel like you're by yourself. But oh, just remember that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. You can count on him. Some of us you might not can count on, but Jesus the Christ, you can count on him, because he is your high priest, and he is going to be there through thick and through thin. No matter what experience you go through, no matter what you name or what you call, Jesus Christ will be there with you. Even when you don't know that he's there, he's always there, because he is our high priest. He is our great high priest. There's none greater than him. He is the great high priest. No, there's no greater savior, no greater intercessor that we could have than have Jesus Christ as all of these for us. He's there because he gave his life for each one of us. You might not think you're worth much to nobody else, but I promise you that you're worth a lot more than you think you are to Jesus Christ, because he died. He thought enough of you to die for you. I say this, and I truly believe this with everything I have to believe. If everybody else in the world was on their way to heaven, and he looked up and he saw me on my way to hell, I believe he'd die for me. I believe that with everything I have to believe. Every ounce of my belief, every ounce of my body, I believe that because he loved us just that much to die for a wretch. Like all of our sins, he bore them because of the love that he had for. He is the great high priest. And Jesus Christ himself as our high priest was tempted in all things just like we are. Yet, without sin. We must remember this glorious truth and never forget it. For it is the very basis of man's salvation. No man will ever be saved unless Jesus Christ did live a sinless life. No man. Because one man could only, a sinner man could only die for his own sin. If Christ had not been virgin born and lived a sinless life, he could have only died for his own sin. And he had no sin. He was sinless, one word. I said sinless about me, it's two words. One word meaning that he had no sin. Two word meaning I sinned over here, but now I'm over here and I don't sin as much over here as I did over here. Christ sinned not at all. Every believer, that after they surrender their life to Christ, we sin less. Less sin than you did last month. And you keep doing less sin and less sin till you erase it, but you have sinned. Once you go to Walmart and buy that sweater and bring it home and wear it, but you don't take the tag off of it, if you take it back, it's still a used sweater, even though you still got the tag on it. I know none of y'all never done that, but I'm just saying about them other people that's not here. It's still a used sweater. So just because over here January 2015 I was sinning, over here in November I'm sinning less, I still sin. So Christ needed to die for us. Am I making sense? Just because you don't take the tag off the sweater and you take it back and they reimburse your money, you sin then. Because you stole something. You just thought you did it legal. But God, he's watching. As they said, big brother, he's watching. And thank you, Lord. Here it is right here. Nobody else might not see what you've done, but God is sitting on the throne, and he sees all. And that throne he's sitting on, he invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace. No matter how wicked your sin may have been, you can come boldly before the throne of grace. And don't misunderstand this word boldly. Don't come in there thinking that you all that and a bag of chips because you can come before the throne of God. You can come boldly, mean to me that I'm making come in there and never look up, but just come in. And you have the right to come in because Christ have already, Christ, you can't come to God. I can't come to God to me without Christ being between me and God because he is my intercessor. He's my intermediator. He's my go-between. Y'all ever had a go-between? Most of us have. We just might not be willing to admit it. Somebody else to go before you to get something done that you need to be done. You know? Yeah. Christ did that for us. So we would have a right to stand in front of God. Because we can do that. God, who is so great,
will allow us to come before his throne of grace because of Christ, the great high priest. He's important to man because so man can come there and in the presence of God, man, thank you, Lord, remember the wrappings. When you come before God, you're wrapped in the Holy Spirit. And you need to remember that because the Holy Spirit is what he left the Comforter with us so he could lead and guide us in the path that we should go and we wouldn't go astray. He left that wrapping for us so we could wrap ourselves in the Word of God. When you wrap yourself in this Word of God, God will protect you from all hurt, harm, and danger. Does it mean that nothing negative will never happen to me? No, it does not. But if it happens to you, you'll get through it a whole lot better with God on your side than you will by yourself. The things that happen to believers, that those same events happen to non-believers, they may get through it, but they'll have more difficulties getting through it. That's why God is walking you through stuff now. The stuff that's in our lives now, some of us, if we were still sinners, you'd be beating your head against the wall because you wouldn't know what you're going to do. Now, when it happens now, just say, well, God, I didn't do anything to cause this, but I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you. Brothers and sisters, and God will get you out of place where you can't do anything else but trust in him. And some of us have done and are doing like Brother Hezekiah. You turning your face to the wall. And you're reminding God of the things that you've done for him. Oh, and God does not mind being reminded of the good deeds that we've done in his name. So that we're walking closer to him now than we used to walk with him. Jesus Christ is there in our behalf at the right hand of the Father. He looks down and said, that's one of mine. Why does that person keep calling me? Every time I look, they're down on their knees. They're talking to me about this situation and that situation, about that person and this person, wanting me to bless them. Why are they calling me? Jesus looks over and said, Father, so that's one of them that were washed in the blood. That's one of mine. He or she believes in the gospel, and right now they're going through difficult times. In my name, Father, will you help them? And he does that. You are blessed today because of Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. He went back there so he'd be our intercessor. Your prayers are answered because God, Jesus, is there answering your prayers, recognizing you because you're not a stranger. You heard Shemaja testify this morning in Sunday school about she had been praying to get more students in her Sunday school class. And the day she had, what was it, 8 or 9, God answers prayer. No matter how small or how great you may think you are, God, Jesus Christ, our high priest, is there. And we need to recognize him as being who he said he is and give him the honor and the glory for him being our Father. Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father will do one other thing for us. He will plead our case. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you give him power of attorney. He becomes your representative. He goes to places that you can't go. He does things that you're not able to do because of who he is. He is God. He is the Son of God. He came in our behalf, and he's now there at the throne of God in our behalf, telling him about the things that we're going through. You can go through nothing that he have not already gone through. And taking all those stripes, I don't want to take those. I don't want to take them. And sometime in my selfish mood, I get to thinking about it, and I said, they shouldn't have done that to me. But then I get out of myself, and I just tell him, thank you. for all that he's done. Because if he took what the Bible said he took for my sin, no matter what you do or say to me, I can take it if I'm trusting in him. You may take my life. You may take my clothes. You may take everything I own. But you can't take my salvation because you didn't give it. Who is that, Shirley Caesar? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the joy that we have is Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Can't anybody take that away from you? They can try. But you have to know that you 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 know that you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember the wrappings that Jesus Christ has wrapped us in. And that is the love of God and the shed blood. He wrapped us in all of that and plus the Holy Spirit to keep us while we're down here. And he will provide just what you need. I'm through. But let me tell you the story that made me see all of this. I was reading something, and I forgot where I was reading it, but it was in The Making of a Pearl. The Making of a Pearl. It's in a wrapping. A pearl is caused by a grain of sand that gets inside of whatever animal that is that makes them. I don't know what's a clam. Oyster. Okay. Then I better start eating oysters. Inside of an oyster. And it causes an irritation. That irritation causes the oyster to secrete a substance that gets around the irritation that's in there. It just gets around it and keeps around it and keeps around it, and it makes a pearl. But before you get the pearl, it's wrapped, and you have to unwrap it. You have to take and crack open the oyster and get the pearl out of there. It is caused by an irritation. That irritation that's causing you to not like someone, just see it as a pearl. They're going to keep irritating you. They're going to keep irritating you. That person on the job that gives you a hard time, see them as the pearl. And one of these days, the shucker going to come along. That's the person with the big hard-pointed knife that sticks it between the shell of the oyster and crack it open. And look inside, and there is the pearl. But you need to remember how it was wrapped. The way the pearl was wrapped and caused is by an irritation. Whatever your sin is, stop doing it. Another grain of sand didn't get into the oyster, just that one. If you only have one irritation and you keep coating it around with the substance that God have put in you, which is the Word of God, every time it comes up, you throw the Word at it, you throw the Word at it, you throw the Word, and it keeps around till it gets to the place where you don't even recognize it's there. The oyster, our oyster, after a while, the grain of sand did not irritate it. Why? Because he had kept secreting his substance on it until it had coated it, and it did not. It was not an irritation. Don't smile and don't look around. There are those people in our lives. Yeah. And I know all of you saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, but you still got those people in your life that are irritations. No matter what you do, they just seem to always. But if you keep throwing that word at them, you keep throwing that word. Now, Sister Brenda, you looking at me smiling, you must think I'm your irritation. And you just keep throwing that word at me, and then I'll leave you alone. But I think you get what I'm saying. Sister Brenda's a friend of mine, y'all. Y'all know that. I pick on her all the time. She gets real embarrassed when I call her name, so I just call her name. But don't
allow the irritation to stop you from doing what God would have you to do. That oyster kept on being an oyster. It did not allow the irritation to stop it from being what God had created it to be. And that's the way you need to be. God have created you to be a believer. And you don't need to let the irritation stop you from being a believer. Will you stand? You can come before the throne of grace. And you don't have to change anything, but just change your position of where you are with Christ.